Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And so they had brought their boats to land, and they forsook all and followed him. So far, our text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who wishes to bless us through his precious word, dear fellow redeemed. In last Sunday's gospel lesson from Luke, we read of Jesus going to his hometown of Nazareth in order to share with them a much-needed message. He came back to these familiar surroundings where he had grown up in order to reveal his glory as a promised Lord in Christ. Out of loving concern for these well-known acquaintances, Jesus wanted to bless them with God's gift of forgiveness and salvation. But this was a sad outcoming. Not only did these people reject Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to take him and throw him over the cliff. Certainly, any time anyone refuses Jesus' beckoning call to receive him and his teachings in faith, to follow him in love, this deeply grieves the Lord. It saddens him to see people reject him and his word. For what they're doing is they're frustrating his redeeming love for them and depriving themselves of God's saving grace. In the events of today's scripture text, Jesus received a God-pleasing response to his message. For on this occasion, many were eager to hear what he had to say, to be richly blessed by him. So as we meditate upon this word of the Lord today, let us join in spirit these people of old who responded to the glory of the Lord in Christ by treasuring his precious words and teachings of salvation, and looking to him in faith and confidence, God's going to provide for our every need, and responding to his gracious ways with a thankful life of loving devotion. Already by this time, the word had spread throughout Galilee of Jesus preaching with great power and might and his wonderful miracles. And so when he came to the lake of Gennesaret, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee, people flocked to him and they crowded around him, pressed him, because they wanted to hear what he had to say. Surely they were spiritually hungry to feed upon Jesus' life-giving, life-sustaining word. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus speak in Nazareth of fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy concerning himself being the promised Lord and Christ. Fulfilling that prophecy of his preaching the gospel to those who are poor in spirit, and healing the brokenhearted, and proclaiming liberty to captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and setting at liberty those who are oppressed. We are the ones who are poor in spirit, because we have no righteousness of our own that avails before God. By realizing this about ourselves, we rejoice whenever we hear the good news of the gospel of forgiveness and salvation, and that Jesus is our righteousness that covers all our flaws and imperfections, so that we stand before God free of blame as God's righteous children. We are comforted by God's binding up, healing, and soothing our sin-wounded spirits with the soothing balm of the gospel, in which God pronounces his forgiveness upon us. And we're free of guilt and shame, and we're set at liberty from our captivity to sin, and can freely serve the Lord with gladness. And we see what is truly good, right, and pleasing in the eyes of God, because the Lord has given us spiritual sight to see what is right, good, and pleasing to the Lord. Otherwise, our eyes are pretty much blinded to those truths. Would that the gospel of Christ also reach the ears and the hearts of people all over the world. For we see so much evidence of countless souls who are controlled by the sin of greed, lust, pride, and hatred. We see so many cases of people hurting one another out of hatred. And this is very distressing to the Lord and to all of us. People need to hear the gospel. This sets them free for sin, guilt, and shame. Among the crowd of Jews assembled to hear Jesus that day were Peter, James, and John. We know them as fishermen who had already acknowledged Jesus as their promised Lord and Christ. Now, they had just completed a fruitless night of fishing, and they had come to shore to wash their nets and get ready for the next time to go out in the night hours to fish some more. Since it became difficult for Jesus to preach on account of the press of the people coming so close to him, he got into one of the boats, and he had one of the disciples, Simon, launch the boat a little bit of ways away from the shore so that he could preach from that vantage point. And even though it was important for Peter to work in order to earn a living for himself and his family, yet because he treasured the words and teachings of God so highly, he was willing to take time off from work, from his job, to do this for Jesus and for the crowd and for himself. Well, on the one hand, Peter's job of catching fish that brought in financial gain. On the other hand, he realized it was far more important for him to obtain spiritual gain through the teachings of Christ. As we witness Peter's example, we're reminded of how important it is for us to take advantage of every opportunity, every occasion that we have to hear and meditate and reflect upon God's wonderful words and teachings. Also, Peter's actions impresses upon us making this a priority in our lives so that we don't let the affairs of this life interfere with us taking out time to grow in God's saving word. For it richly blesses us. It blesses us with treasures that we enjoy in this life and then extends on into eternity. Can you think of anything more important to do with your time than to meditate upon the treasures of Christ that are timeless and eternal? This should be our priority in life. Take out time for his word. After Jesus finished preaching to the crowd, he said to Simon Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." To an experienced fisherman at the Sea of Galilee, this was the wrong time of day to go fishing and the wrong place to go fishing. Remember what we heard in the text. They fished all night and they fished near shore. And Jesus says, let's go out into the deep during the day and you'll catch fish. So even though this instruction went against human experience and human judgment, Peter was willing to follow the Lord's command. Previously at the wedding of Cana, we witnessed from God's word, Jesus' power as God over nature, because he miraculously turned water into the finest tasting wine. So then, because Peter had seen the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ, he confidently trusted in Jesus' power to bring success on this fishing adventure. Peter had also learned of Jesus that his word was ever true. When Jesus tells you something and he promises something to you, he is faithful to that word. He keeps his promises without fail. Our text reports Peter's response to Jesus. He said, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partner in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Have you ever had a fishing experience like that? I haven't. I enjoy fishing, but I've never had that happen. This was not the kind of fish story where the fisherman exaggerates the size of the fish or the mess of fish that they've caught. No. This is a true account, reporting the mighty hand of God at work, directing the forces of nature to do precisely as the Lord commanded. And that's important to remember. Who is in control of nature? The Lord is. And this is a clear example of it. Now, while Peter and John and James had previously come up empty-handed after toiling all night fishing, yet in the space of a short period of time, the Lord bountifully blessed their fishing efforts, filling up their boats to the point where they started to sink. Now we mentioned, I forgot to mention, but Peter was married and he had a mother-in-law that he was supporting. And right after this event, he was going to be leaving home to do full-time ministry, to learn from Jesus and to carry out the work Jesus had called him to perform. And so when you think about that, that huge amount of fish, that would go far in providing for Peter's family while he was gone. As children of God, we, like the fishermen Peter, James, and John, recognize the need to diligently devote ourselves to our respective duties in life, and that we are to perform them to the best of our abilities. As to the hope for a good outcome from our earthly labors, above all, we look to the Lord, and we have a confident trust that he will work his gracious blessings for our good, for our earthly welfare. And while he ordinarily pours out these earthly blessings in normal, natural means of people working for a living, yet if need be, he can use his power to supernaturally provide for us. Also, remember this. just as the Lord kept his promise to Peter. And you're going to catch fish. And he kept his word. And so also he has made this promise to us. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always make sure that you're provided for. And he will take care of us even for our eternal blessings. The final feature of our text addresses the matter of children responding to the divine glory of Jesus by receiving those blessings in humble faith and thankful service. When Peter beheld the glory of the Lord, he fell at Jesus' feet and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." How did Isaiah react in that vision when he was in the presence of the glory of the Lord? He says, "I'm a man of unclean lips." What about those other appearances of angels to people? They were filled with fear. But every time they heard a message, "Do not be afraid." And then they were given a reason why they didn't need to be afraid. Many are the times where believers in Bible times were in the presence of God's glory and they were afraid. But every time they are reassured, "You don't need to be afraid. He alone calms our fearful hearts because we know him as our Savior who has removed all of our sins and all our deserved punishment." In the Lord's Supper, Jesus gives us the added assurance of his forgiveness. He reminds us of his sacrifice on the cross, and we receive his sacrificial body and blood that was offered up on the cross for our forgiveness. And this reminds us, reassures us, Jesus died for me. He took away my sin, all of my sins, and I am saved. How greatly comforted we are, and how truly thankful to be so richly blessed in this way. The spirit of thankfulness is shown by a cheerful giving of ourselves in service to God and his kingdom. Consider, if you will, Peter, James, and John's response when the Lord called upon him, "Leave behind your jobs right now. Come and follow me." With this, Jesus was calling the three to become full-time disciples who would later go out into the world to catch men by casting the net of the gospel to gather them into the kingdom of God. The response of the three is quite remarkable. Listen to what our text reports. "And so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Strengthened in faith by Jesus' words and deeds, not only did these disciples receive a humble faith concerning all that God has blessed them with, but they immediately answered his call. They left their jobs behind, they left their family, their friends, and their possessions, and they went and followed after Jesus. What a powerful and dramatic message this is of a humble faith and a thankful spirit moved to cheerful service of God. Would that the Lord fill our hearts with that kind of a faithful spirit, thankful hearts to serve the Lord with gladness. I remember one of our pastors, Pastor Paul Nolting. I don't know if you ever met him before. But he grew up in a pastor's home. And very often his dad would take his kids along with him to church to do some work. Well, there were oftentimes Paul said, I grumbled and I complained. And every time his father would say, "Serve the Lord with gladness." And everything that we do in this world should be a humble, loving, thankful service to God. Even taking out the garbage.
washing the floor. No matter what the task is, we're serving the Lord, and if we do it to our best of our abilities, we're bringing honor and glory to God. May we then respond to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by treasuring all the blessings that he pours out upon us through his word, and by looking confidently to him to faithfully take care of us and all our needs, and by receiving all his blessings with a humble faith and a thankful service. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.